Well, again, it's so good to be with you guys tonight. It's always a privilege to be able to minister to you. Always a privilege to be able to minister to you guys here at the Salvation Army. And a few weeks ago, I started a mini-series called Hear and Obey. Hear and Obey. And tonight's message is Turn and Be Whole. I want to kind of briefly summarize last week's message, which was turn away, turning away from our sinful lifestyle. Now, basically, we spoke on repentance last week, and we described what the word repentance is. What does it mean to repent? To repent literally means to change your mind. And you know, the thoughts that we think influence our actions. So when you change your mind, the corresponding action is to change your direction. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You are going one way, a rebellious way, your own way, a sinful way. Repentance is saying, I change my mind. I turn around and I go God's way of holiness. That's what repentance is. And I gave you guys a brief illustration of repentance. It's, let's say I'm driving on a road and heading towards a bridge, right? And I drive on this bridge, and 200 feet out into the bridge, I realize that the bridge is out. Cars have fallen over. People have lost their lives. What does godly wisdom say to do in that situation? It says for me to change my mind, turn my vehicle around, go the opposite direction towards safety. Does that make sense tonight? That's exactly what repentance is. It's looking ahead with your life. It's seeing that if you still continue going down the same sinful path that you've been living in, you could suffer eternal loss. Eternal destruction. So what does godly wisdom say to do in that situation? It says to change your mind, turn your life around, and head towards God. Towards God's way of holiness. Does that make sense tonight? All right. Now we talked about the most severe consequence of living a lifestyle of unrepented sin. The most severe consequence of living in sin continually and willfully is eternal loss, eternal separation from God. What should our response be, friends? We talked about this at the end. Our response to this must be to confess our sins to God. And then to do what? Number two. To turn away from our sins, to repent, and to go God's way. Amen.
Amen.
You agree with that tonight? You know, Jonah the prophet, how many heard of Jonah the prophet? You know, the book of Jonah is a story, an account of repentance. What did God say to Jonah? He said, Jonah, I want you to go and preach to Nineveh. And what was Jonah's response? He said, God, no. I'm going the opposite direction towards Tarshish. He disobeyed God. So he got into a boat. There was a storm. The boat was rocking back and forth. After some discussion, they agreed that Jonah was at fault. So they threw him overboard. And God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Remember that? In the belly of the whale, Jonah cried out to God. In Jonah chapter 2, you can read it. He confessed his sin to God and said, God, you told me to go one way to Nineveh, but I went to Tarshish. God, I am sorry. He confessed his sin. And he said, God, if you can give me one more chance, I will turn around and go your direction towards Nineveh. God is the God of a second chance. So God commanded the whale, and it spit Jonah onto dry land. How many remember that? And tonight, friends, you may feel like you're in the belly of the whale. Maybe as a result of your own sin, as a result of your own disobedience and rebellion to God. There is a second chance with God. What do you need to do? You need to change your mind, turn your life around, and obey God. Amen? Amen. All right. God loves you guys so very much. Tonight, I would like to talk about the spiritual step that follows repentance for the next few minutes. The spiritual step that follows repentance. Repentance is turning away from your lifestyle of sin and turning towards God. The step after that is to have faith in Jesus. Remember what Jesus preached in Matthew 4, verse 17. John the Baptist preached it. They said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Remember that. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, let me ask you this tonight. What does a kingdom involve? What does the kingdom of heaven involve? It involves King Jesus. See, when you turn away from going your own way of sin and rebellion and go God's way of holiness, you are telling King Jesus to sit on the throne of your heart. Let me say that again. When you turn away from going your own way of sin and rebellion, and you say, "God, I'm going your way of holiness," you are telling King Jesus to sit on the throne of your heart. Amen. On the throne of your heart. Then the kingdom that is near you becomes the kingdom that is within you. Remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. He said, "The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, does not come with careful observation. It doesn't come with people saying, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is.' For the kingdom of God is within you." So when you say, "Jesus, be my Lord, sit on the throne of my heart," the kingdom that is near you becomes the kingdom that resides, that lives on the inside of you. How many want the kingdom of God to live on the inside of them? Then put Jesus on the throne of your heart. Amen? Amen. All right, all right. Now, think about it this way. Think about your life like an automobile, like a car. Like an automobile. People in the world that are not following God, guess what? They are sitting in the driver's seat of their own life. I want to be in control of my own life. This is my life. If it feels good, I want to do it. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. If I want to read horoscopes, I'll do that. If I want to sleep around, I'll do that. If I want to abuse drugs and alcohol and cigarettes, I'll do that. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Basically, they are in the driver's seat of their own life, right? But as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, who is to be in the driver's seat of our life? Who's it to be? It's to be King Jesus. You see, when you put Jesus in the driver's seat of your life, you have made him Lord. Lord means ruler and controller. King Jesus wants to rule and control every part of your life. Spirit, soul, and body. He wants to be in full control. So the step that follows repentance is what? It's faith in Jesus Christ. This is what Paul stated in Acts 20, 21. Let's turn there. Acts 20, verse 21. He was talking here to the Ephesian elders while he was in Miletus. Acts 20, verse 21. And this is what he says. I have declared, I'll just wait a second until you get there. But Acts 20:21, this is what Paul the Apostle writes. "I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus." Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ is the spiritual step that follows repentance. You say, "God, I'm turning away from this lifestyle of sin. I'm turning toward you. Jesus, by faith in you, sit upon the throne of my heart." So faith in Jesus is the spiritual step that follows repentance. Now, let me tell you this tonight. Just think about this. Those that have Jesus in the driver's seat of their lives are going where one day when they leave this earth? Those that have Jesus ruling and reigning on the throne of their heart are going where when they leave this earth? They're going to heaven one day, right? But I'm here to tell you, friends, tonight that many of us, many of you will spend another 30, 40, 50, or 60 years more on this earth. How many want more years on this earth? You'll be on this earth another 30, 40, 50, or 60 years. And I'm here to tell you tonight that God wants to give you wholeness in every part of your being here on this earth. How does this whole life begin? It begins with repentance. So basically the message tonight is repentance and wholeness. Wholeness and blessing follows a repentant life. Let's turn to Proverbs 28, verse 13. The writer of Proverbs talks about this. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. And this is what he says. He who conceals his sin does not prosper. If you're living in sin, you cannot prosper in the eyes of God. But whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. So we've got to confess our sins to God and then renounce our sinful lifestyle. To renounce your sinful lifestyle means to do what? It means to turn away from it and to go God's way. And those who renounce their sins, the Word of God says it, find mercy. If you turn away from going your own way and turn God's way, let me tell you something here tonight, that God will give you mercy, prosperity, and blessing. How many can use some blessing here tonight? Then start going God's way with your life. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Okay, what did Isaiah prophesy concerning the crucifixion of Jesus? Let's turn to Isaiah 53. Couple of books over. Isaiah 53, verse 5. And I was studying this today, and I think you guys might find this interesting. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Isaiah prophesying the crucifixion of Jesus. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are what?
Healed.
Now, the part of the verse that I want to stress tonight is this. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. If you repent and turn away from your lifestyle of sin and let King Jesus sit upon the throne of your heart, then the peace he purchased at Calvary 2,000 years ago will be available for you.
Yeah.
But you've got to let him sit on the throne of your heart.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Okay, I looked up this word peace. And how many here would like to know a little more what this word peace means? In Isaiah 53, 5. Okay. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. The word peace in Hebrew is, this word, is shalom. How many have said shalom before? Shalom, or peace to you. Shalom, peace. Most people think it just means peace. But when I studied this word, this is what it means. This word shalom includes health, prosperity, and peace. It also includes the definition to be safe in mind, to be safe in body, and to be safe in estate. So we can read Isaiah 53:5 this way. The punishment that brought us health, prosperity, peace, and wholeness was upon him. Can I say that again? The punishment that brought us health, prosperity, peace, and wholeness was upon him at Calvary 2,000 years ago. You see, it's only when you place faith in Jesus and put him in the driver's seat of your life that this wholeness is available to you. Health, prosperity, peace, abundance, blessing. Friends, it is available to you if you put this Jesus who is pierced for our transgressions on the throne of our hearts. Amen? It's available to you. But you've got to repent. I've said it before and it bears repeating, guys. God is not obligated to bless anyone who is living in willful disobedience and rebellion to Him. Let me say that again. God is not obligated to bless anyone who is living in willful rebellion and sin against Him. He's not obligated. If you're going your own way, how can you expect God's provision to be in your life? If you're telling God, God, I want nothing to do with you. God, get out of my life. How can God then provide for you? You've got to be going His way. Turn away from your sin and go God's way. Put Jesus in the driver's seat of your life. And when you do that, God will prosper you. Let's look. The case in point here is the prodigal son. And I like that song you sang at the end because it talks about the prodigal son. When the son went back to the father, he ran towards him. That's awesome. God ran towards him. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. Luke 15, 11 through 24. This is an awesome parable. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son, verse 13, got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. This son was what kind of son in these verses? He was a rebellious son. He said, Father, give me my inheritance before you die. Basically, he was telling his dad, Dad, I wish you were dead. He went his own way. He left his father and went down the path of sin. And the Word of God says that he squandered, he spent all of his money. And he had to feed the pigs. Somebody hired him to feed his pigs. He was in such great need, friends, that he was desiring to eat what the pigs ate. I mean, I can't imagine that. Could you imagine that? I mean, pigs eat slop. It's disgusting. I can't imagine it. He was desiring what the pigs were eating. So the point here is what? If you're living in sin, in rebellion to our Heavenly Father, it leads to poverty. It leads to lack and to great need. But look at this. When he came to his senses, verse 17, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. Now, let's look at these verses again. In verses 18 and 19, he says this. In his mind, he's saying, you know what? I'm going to go back to my dad. I'm going to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. What was this that he was saying? What act was this? He was basically saying that I am going to do what? I am going to confess my sins to my father. Come on. And then after that, it says this in verse 20. So he got up and went to his father. What does verse 20 talk about? Getting up and going to his father. It talks about repentance. Turning from his sinful lifestyle of rebellion and saying, I'm going back to my dad. The father in this parable represents whom? It represents our Heavenly Father. So this young man was like, I'm going to confess my sins to my dad. And I'm going back to him. I'm repenting. Then look at this. The last part of verse 20. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to the father, here's the confession, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, verse 22, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to do what? They began to celebrate. Do you see the progression here, friends? You see what happens here? He confessed the sin, right? To his dad. He said, Dad, I'm sorry. I have sinned against heaven. I have sinned against you. Then he said, you know what, Dad? I'm coming back to you. I'm repenting. And after repentance, what occurred? What occurred after his repentance? The blessing. Could you imagine what this young man was dressed like when he was eating with the pigs? His clothes must have been really smelly, right? Maybe torn up, smelling nasty. You know, having bare minimum clothing. He was in need because what? He had sinned. He had turned away from his father. He hardly had food to eat. But when he turned back to God, what happened? Or when he turned back to his dad, what happened? He was blessed. His dad said, bring out the best robe and put it on my son. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. The dad said, I'm here to provide for you, son, because you have repented. Kill the fatted calf. Let's have a feast. And he provided his son with physical food. So, friends, I'm here to tell you tonight, maybe some of you tonight are in need, maybe of better clothing, a better place to live, a better vehicle to drive, 3 square good meals a day. One of God's names is what? It's Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides for all of our needs. That's one of God's names. But it all begins, this blessing, this prosperity, this provision, all begins with what? With repentance. The peace that Jesus purchased for you at Calvary 2,000 years ago on the cross is available for you. The health, the prosperity, the blessing, the wholeness, the abundance, it's available to you. But you've got to do something first. You need to turn away from going your own way like the son turned away and say, you know what, I'm going back to my dad. You've got to confess your sins to God. You've got to turn away from those sins. And once you do that, you put into motion God's blessing and provision in your life. But again, it all starts with repentance and putting Jesus on the throne of your heart by faith. So what do you need tonight, friends? What is it that you need? Is it material possession? Jesus Christ is the miracle working God. Remember in Matthew chapter 17, the collector of the temple tax came to Peter and Jesus. Let's turn there, Matthew chapter 17, just real quick. And they basically said, you and your master owe the temple tax. Came to Peter and asked, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Matthew chapter 17, verse 24. Yes, he does, he replied. Peter came into the house. Jesus was the first to speak. What do you think, Simon? He asked, from whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others? From others, Peter answered. The sons are exempt. But Jesus said this, that we may not offend them. Go to the lake, throw out your line, take up the first fish that you catch, open its mouth, and in the mouth of the fish will be the money to pay the tax collectors. They were in need of some material thing, money. Jesus is the miracle working God. And if the miracle working God is sitting on the throne of your heart, He wants to provide for you. But He's got to be sitting there. He's got to be in the driver's seat of your car, of your life. Healing. Do you need physical healing tonight? Faith in Jesus can do it. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30. Two blind men. Jesus went on from there. Two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." Verse 28, when he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be done to you?" And their sight was restored. Now look at this. This is interesting. Look at verse 28 again. When Jesus asked them, do you believe that I'm able to give your sight back again? How did they respond? Did they say, "Yes, Son of David"? No. They said, "Yes, Lord." What did that indicate? That indicated that Jesus was their Lord and ruler. That he sat upon the throne of their hearts by his Spirit. And immediately, Jesus said, "According to your faith, be it done unto you." And their sight was restored. Does that make sense tonight? They didn't respond, "Yes, Jesus. Yes, Son of David." They responded, "Yes, Lord." Indicating that Jesus was sitting in the driver's seat of their life. Is Jesus sitting in the driver's seat of your life? How can you expect physical healing if you're not following him? If you're living in continual sin, you can't expect that physical healing. If you're bitter on the inside towards somebody, if you're watching bad movies, you're watching images that are not good for you, you're getting drunk on alcohol, how in the world could he bless you? That's a lifestyle of rebellion. Do you need peace in your emotions? Does anybody here tonight need peace in their emotions? Maybe you're going through some pretty tough times. I see your hand out there. Guess what Jesus is referred to? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Doesn't matter the storm that you're going through tonight. The Prince of Peace wants to sit on the throne of your heart and give you a peace that surpasses any human understanding. Peace in the midst of your storm. The world calls it happiness. Happiness is based on happenings. You know, a person who's not living with God, you know, living for God, if everything around them, their happenings around them are going well, things are going good, they're making money, they got a nice house, they've got a nice car, they've got a nice spouse, happenings are good, things are going good, they're happy. But as soon as they lose something, they become sad. As soon as they go through a storm, sadness comes into their life. But it's different with us as followers of Jesus. It's different for us. We could be going through storms in our lives. Tough times. Maybe the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, a broken heart, whatever it might be. But if the Prince of Peace is sitting there, guess what? You can have peace in the midst of that storm. In the midst of that hard time. But guess what? The Prince of Peace has got to be sitting right there. He's got to be Lord. Amen? Amen. Do you need rest tonight? Is your body weary? Are you tired tonight? I know a lot of you work some long hours. Yes, sir. I see your hands. He gives rest to the weary. Look it up. Matthew chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. Verses 28 and 29. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." We could say that Jesus is the King of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Rest. Some of you out there tonight are tired. Tired in your emotions. Tired physically. Your body feels maybe almost as good as dead tonight. They that wait upon the Lord shall what? shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will walk and not faint, run and not grow weary. But you've got to wait upon God. You've got to have King Jesus sitting upon the throne of your heart. So the next spiritual step after repentance is what? It's faith in Jesus. It's putting Jesus on the throne of your heart so that when you leave this earth, you're going where? To heaven, right? But a lot of us in this room tonight will live on this earth another 30, 40, 50, or 60 years. And it's in those years on this earth that the peace that Jesus purchased at Calvary is available for you. That peace, that shalom includes what? Health, prosperity, peace, wholeness and blessing. It's available to you. But the king that was pierced for our transgressions has got to be right where? Right here. And that peace, that wholeness will be available to you. Amen? So what you got to do tonight is reach out in faith and grab a hold of his wholeness for you. God loves you so very much. And tonight as you were listening, you thought, man, you know what, Jonathan, I am living a lifestyle of sin. You might want to come up, David, if you want. I am living in a lifestyle of sin. There's a secret sin in my life. And I know the Word of God says in Proverbs 28:13 that whoever hides a sin will not prosper. But whoever renounces it finds mercy, finds prosperity, finds abundance, finds blessing, finds God's provision. So tonight God is calling us to renounce that lifestyle of wrongdoing, of sin, of wrong thoughts, maybe thoughts of revenge. Somebody harmed you, said something about you. You're vengeful. God says, vengeance is mine. Somebody lied about you, so you're bitter against them. You hate them. You know what? Though you may not have murdered somebody physically, which is a great sin in the eyes of human beings, that sin of bitterness is just as great in the eyes of God. So God tonight is calling us to what? To turn away and to be whole. Amen? Amen.